Good morning, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, time to rise and shine. It is prayer time that's on the air here at WHCB, Bristol Kingsport, Johnson City. Thank you for joining us for our prayer time on this Friday morning. On WHCB yesterday on prayer time, we started with 9 signs, prophetic signs in Israel today. From Dr. Noah Hutchings. He wrote a book on 25 signs, but he put together a little pamphlet here called The Prophetic Observer that gives us 9 as it pertains to Israel and Israel's return. And we were at the one called Cities of Israel. We read about the resettlement of a promised land in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 11 and 24. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Although most of the ancient cities of Israel were destroyed and non-existent for about 2,000 years, when the Jews returned, the cities have been rebuilt according to their original sites and their original names. Jerusalem is still Jerusalem, Nazareth is still Nazareth, and Bethlehem is still Bethlehem. You go on down the list. There are 3 cities that are called the cities of exception that were not rebuilt. You remember Capernaum, that is the city of Nahum. It's also the city where Peter and Andrew and James and John were from. It is the city sitting there on the Sea of Galilee on the northern end, Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida. Now, the reason these cities have not been rebuilt is that they rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah and his teachings when he was on the earth, and he pronounced a woe on all 3 cities. But the rest of the cities of Israel, according to Ezekiel 36, 11, and 24, have been rebuilt. From desolation to a national garden was a promise that we find. After Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, and the Jews were either killed or scattered into all the nations, rainfall decreased and the land became barren and desolate. Mark Twain, the U.S. author and humorist, returned from a tour of Israel in 1867 and reported that Israel was the most desolate place in the world. He said the land was barren, and you could travel for miles and never see a human being. It was a wasteland. Deuteronomy 28:15 through 18 says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep." As the Jews began returning to Israel increasingly after World War II, the promises to Israel began to be fulfilled. Rainfall began to increase, and Israel developed the most efficient irrigation systems in the world. Isaiah 62:4 says this, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." Isaiah 27:6, "He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit." Today, the land of Israel is indeed a virtual garden. Israel provides Europe with fruits and vegetables. Citrus fruits from Israel appear here in the U.S. as well. And so we see that the cities of Israel have been reestablished, and it's gone from desolation to a national garden. Another one of these prophetic signs given in God's Word is Jerusalem will become an international problem. And Why would a little town like Jerusalem become such a problem? Well, the national status of Jerusalem is debated in the United Nations almost every day. This is what Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And then there's the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is so salty and so heavy laden with other minerals that nothing in the Dead Sea lives. The Dead Sea really is a lake, which is over the huge Syrian-African rift, and it seems to be the result of the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's how it was formed. But there is a prophecy that indicates that one day waters from the Red Sea will fill the Dead Sea, which is the lake. It'll become a freshwater lake and be filled with fish from the Red Sea. There is a plan to cut a canal from Eilat on the Red Sea down the huge earthquake rift to the Dead Sea. Noah Hutchings writes that when he was in Israel in December 2013, he also learned that Israel plans to build several huge desalination plants along the rift. And so within a few years, fish from the Red Sea could be swimming in the Dead Sea. Ezekiel 47, 10 and 11, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even to En-Gileam, and there shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. Lord willing, on Monday we will finish this Prophetic Observer article and these signs of prophetic significance in Israel, according to Dr. Noah W. Hutchings. My friend, thank you for joining us for prayer time. Thank you for your prayers for us and your support for us. We appreciate you and appreciate you greatly. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for how that you take care of us. Lord, we don't have any idea of all the many times that you have taken us under your wings and just succored us as we needed help when we didn't even know you were doing it. We thank you for that. We thank you for your watch care over us, which is so great. And we thank you for prophecy that is being fulfilled and revealed even in our day, even in our time. Lord, we see at the world around us, we look at it, and we get all upset because of the nastiness of the world and the sinfulness of leadership around the world and the absolute arrogance and pride of ignoramuses that have no right to even stand before an almighty God. And yet, Lord, you take that in stride. You know what's going on. You're not caught by surprise. And Lord, we thank you that you love us in spite of ourselves and that you take care of us. Now, we do ask for your provision, even as you receive our adoration and our glory. All glory is given to you, for you alone are worthy of that. And so, Father, we pass it to you and ask you to receive it, and we thank you. And we do that in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our soon coming King. Amen.